SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are rocking and rolling on this Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel getting you prepped and ready for this weekend in terms of the NFL preseason action. You heard the soundbite. Preseason football last night, Brian and Dable and the New York Giants winners over Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, 23-21. Graham Gano with a 24-yard game-winning field goal. Davis Webb did lead the Giants on the game-winning drive, but I tell you what, Scott, Bill Belichick does not sound happy. I brought it up yesterday. I'll bring it up throughout the season. The brain trust, the offensive brain trust of both Matt Patricia and Joe Judge disaster for the New England Patriots. You heard Bill Belichick. This is just the calm before the storm, baby, because as good and as much as I love Mac Jones, this team is headed into a downward spiral, 6-11 this year in 2022.
I'm thinking more 11-6. Listen, they had Baylor Zappi throwing the football all over the place. The offense gave them the lead. They gave the ball. They gave the defense the lead, 21-20, with 5 minutes left. It was the defense that lost the game, allowing Davis Webb of all people to come down the field and kick the game-winning field goal. It wasn't the offense's fault. It's just dopey Belichick being Belichick at his finest. Just answer the stupid question, right? Who cares who's calling play? Just tell us who it's going to be. Is it going to be that big a difference for the other team's defense to kind of scout you if Matt Patricia's calling the plays versus Joe Judge? Neither one's got an ounce of history with offenses, so I don't quite get the secrecy. I really don't. But that's just, like I said, Belichick being Belichick. But I came away impressed with the Patriots. I think they're going to win 10 games this year, if not
really.
11.
Well, I disagree. I think when adversity hits, this offense and the offensive play calling will get very conservative. That's the one thing we saw with Detroit with Matt Stafford and Matt Patricia, and more importantly with Joe Judge and the New York Giants. I will say that Bailey Zappi did perform very well last night. He stepped up with over 200 yards. This was the FBS leader, right? The quarterback from Western Kentucky transferred in last year, stepped in and broke Joe Burrow's single season record in terms of touchdowns. Down passes with 65 last year. Not just a system guy, he stepped up and made some throws. On the flip side for the New York Giants, Danny Dimes did start, right? 6-10, a pedestrian 69 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. It was really Davis Webb on the last drive, and more importantly, Tyrod Taylor that got a bulk of the snaps. Tyrod Taylor performed well, 13 of 21, 129 and a touchdown. And I've said it deeper before, don't be shocked if we're looking at Brian Daboll and the New York Giants, that he doesn't make an assessment on Daniel Jones early and often. And I mean, within the first 7 or 8 games, if this team is, let's say, 2-6 after the first 8 games, he might turn the dial and turn the page to Tyrod Taylor, that I think gives the team a better opportunity to win games. And maybe they look to 2023 for the quarterback of the future.
Yeah, but if you were going to do that, then wouldn't you just keep pull the Miami Dolphin, right? Keep Josh Rosen in the game and make sure you go 0-16. You know, keep Danny Nichols in the starting lineup and make sure you go 3-14 and so you get the number one, number two, or three pick, right? Versus putting in Tyrod Taylor, who might win you 4 or 5 games, but you're not going to win the division, you're not going to make the playoffs, right? So what would be the point outside of Danny getting injured? I would.
Well, I think the Maras like Danny Jones.
They do.
Right? They like him.
Yep.
So I think that Dable does the right thing and says, you know what, we'll make an assessment after maybe the first half of the season. But if Daniel Jones doesn't have this team at 500 or above, it's time to move on. I mean, the margin of success and the margin of error in the NFL in terms of a head coach and even starting quarterbacks is basically 2 to 3 years. We see that with Matt Rhule in terms of Carolina. Year three, he's already on the hot seat. He doesn't get the Panthers over the hump until at least 9-8 8 this year or fighting for a wild card contention, he's probably going to be out in Carolina. Same thing with Brian Daboll. You don't succeed in New York in a 2 or 3 year window. The pressure is on unlike any other place, right? Media perspective, it's the number one media market out there. They put the pressure on you as soon as you hit the ground running. And if you don't step up, you're out. So, I mean, can he afford to wait 1 year where, let's say, the team is 5-12 and he says, okay, I'll turn the page to year number two? Or do you make the assessment on Daniel Jones right here in the first half of the season and say, either he has it, I could build around him, or we have to cut ties and we have to move on next season to find somebody that can lead this franchise and organization?
I would say he's got 8 weeks. Then they have their bye week. And I got to tell you, Joe, we do this all the time, and I love doing it. We look at schedules and say easy, hard schedule, this, that. Giants have a ridiculously easy schedule. They really do. So he's got 8 weeks before the bye week comes in, and he's got games against Carolina, Chicago, Jacksonville, Seattle among those 8 games. You know, and then they come back from the bye with Houston and Detroit. So if he can't get it done the first 8, then it'll be Tyrod's team after that.
I think he gives them the best opportunity. And I don't love Tyrod Taylor, but I think he is the best choice. When we come back, we'll break down the other games. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel talking about last night's preseason games. We talked about Joe Judge and Matt Patricia for the New England Brain Trust. Going to talk about last night's game in Baltimore. The Ravens stepped up. They won that ball game 23-10. Scott, you know, we thought we would see a much better performance out of Tennessee. They started former Toledo quarterback Logan Woodside and Liberty quarterback Malik Willis that you heard head coach Mike Vrabel step up and say he can handle the pressure. Most likely he could be a starter in the NFL, and we saw Malik Willis slip from the first round potential top 10 pick all the way to the third round for the Tennessee Titans, and people are already starting quarterback controversy in Tennessee. Should they go with Malik Willis over Ryan Tannehill? Willis completed 6 of 11, 107 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, did rush for 38 yards on 6 carries with a touchdown. Let me just say this. We heard the same type of hype with Trey Lance last year, right? What did Trey Lance do in the limited 6 games that he did play? 57% completion percentage. It was Jimmy Garoppolo that led the team to an NFC Championship appearance. Malik Willis is raw. He might have a little athleticism, and if we're going to compare him to Jalen Hurts or even Lamar Jackson for that matter in terms of break and contain, Malik Willis isn't that dynamic in my opinion. He's still raw. He's a prospect, and he could be utilized maybe in certain types of sets, but there is no quarterback controversy in Nashville as far as I'm concerned.
No, not even close. I mean, you know, listen, without trying to create any controversy here, why does every single black quarterback that can run around a little bit have to automatically be Lamar Jackson? All right, well, Lamar Jackson is a freak of nature. This guy is so, so quick, Lamar. He is so much better than all these other quarterbacks that think they can scramble a little bit and be the next Lamar Jackson. It's not even funny. So this guy stunk in college. He had one good year. He bombed out in Auburn. He had a decent year in Liberty 2 years ago. His numbers last year in Liberty were atrocious, and he threw for 6 of 11 for 100 yards. Big stink. I mean, you know, against a backup Ravens defense. So, there's no controversy. None whatsoever. He's going to be lucky to be cashing a paycheck in a couple of years.
Well, I will say this. The biggest thing about Malik Willis for me from his first year at Liberty to his second year was they weren't sneaking up on anybody, right? The first year when they faced off and squared off against Coastal Carolina, they were an under-the-radar team. They beat a handful of ACC teams that year. They knocked off Syracuse in the Carrier Dome. They were underdogs. They knocked off Virginia Tech. They went toe-to-toe with NC State, lost a very close ball game, 15-14. 14, right? That carried over last year. They were the team, the group of five with Cincinnati, to potentially crack the college football playoff. And to your point, in the sense of not stepping up, right? In fact, he lost to my good friend Terry Bowden as a 32.5-point favorite. One of the worst losses in FBS history. It was the fifth biggest upset in FBS history, according to the point spread, 32.5, and he didn't play well in that ballgame. Got sacked four times, two interceptions. Not only that, he had an opportunity against a very good Power 5 defense. At that particular time, Syracuse's defense was playing much better in the early part of the season than at the end, right? They were 5-7, but he had an opportunity down 24-21 to step up and lead that team to victory. Could not do it. He faced a very good top 25 defense in Ole Miss statistically. Matt Corral was shut out in the first half and threw three interceptions. So that's the body of work that I look at college and say, okay, where is he in terms of a passing perspective heading into the NFL? And yes, he has upside. But if we're going to compare him to some of the most athletic running quarterbacks and dual threats that we've seen, not even close. I mean, you're right about Lamar Jackson in the sense of Lamar was a freak in nature, won the Heisman Trophy only with an 8-5 record because nobody could stop Lamar Jackson on the football field, not just for his last season, but during his tenure in Louisville, right? I mean, he just tore up the best defenses each and every Saturday, even Clemson when they were a national power. So at the end of the day, yes, he has potential, but where would you put him right now? I think he was worthy of a third-round pick. I mean, he deserved to slip. The media hype of pumping him into the top 10 based off his combine or pro day was just unrealistic. And at the end of the day, if you look at just this team in terms of Tennessee, they don't want to change their MO to what they have in Baltimore. They want to go more of a ground and pound, work off of play action, much like San Francisco had with Jimmy Garoppolo last year. It's just that Ryan Tannehill failed to do that against a good defense in Cincinnati in the playoff game.
Yeah, and he's failed to do it basically every playoff game for Tennessee, right? So he failed to do it the year before with against Baltimore. So it's more, I suppose it's more of an anti-Tannehill thing, like they need somebody else. So that's what happens when you draft a quarterback, you know, relatively high in the third round. You're always going to get those comparisons. You're always going to get the, okay, is he ready to step in? I just don't think he's ready to step in. In one game in which he threw for 100 yards, it's just, you know, he threw for 300 yards twice last year in college, once against Army and another time against should be 1AA UMass. I mean, he wasn't even, his numbers weren't even that good, like I said, in college. So he threw for under 200 yards more times than he threw for over 300. That tells you a little something. So, but yeah, let's pump the brakes a little bit on the Malik Willis is ready for superstardom stuff.
Well, you could say maybe he could be like a Taysom Hill type of quarterback in year one, right? In terms of red,
they might be able to utilize him. Maybe.
I mean, if you want an added dimension, but expecting Tennessee's playoff hopes to hinge on Malik Willis right here, right now, you can't. It's not even close. I guarantee you, if Malik Willis started over Tannehill right here, where he is in terms of completion percentage and where he is coming out of college, forget the arm strength. We're not talking about that. We're talking about accuracy. We're talking about being able to fit the ball into tight windows and read coverage. That's where he's raw right now, and that takes time. You're still seeing Trey Lance struggle with that, and he played six games last year. There's no guarantee he's going to step up in year number two and all of a sudden light it up like Pat Mahomes did. I mean, everybody has expectations.
Right? Yeah, same thing, right?
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. If you're going to make the assessment, and I'll get your take on this, Justin Fields, yes, he did struggle in Chicago. But if you're breaking down all the young quarterbacks, Justin Fields did it better than anybody out of all the second-year guys, if we're talking about that. We're talking Zach Wilson. We're talking, obviously, Trey Lance, who stepped up against elite competition, not just for 1 year, but for 2 years. I mean, got his team to a college football national championship appearance and played very well against Alabama, one of the best defenses 2 years ago. So, I mean, I understand the breakdown of Justin Fields, but I think if we're looking big picture out of all the second-year quarterbacks, I think Justin Fields is, he could do it in college, just needs to prove now he could do it with a supporting cast that's not elite at this point in Chicago.
Yeah, it just, I'll just bring up another example of a quarterback who was terrific in college yet struggled his first year. And really, you want to make the case, Joe, the best rookie quarterback last season probably was Davis Mills, at least numbers-wise, with the Houston Texans, even though he would be probably last on the list of guys that you would want on your team. But if you look at his numbers, he, you know, he showed a little something being able to throw the football. So, yeah, but the piping a little bit on the Malik Willis stuff, that's all.
We shall see. Tennessee bowed out of the playoffs to Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Number one seed, can they back it up? Already plus 160 on FanDuel. Coming right back, talking about tonight's action.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, continuing the conversation, you heard the sound bites in the intro in terms of Malik Willis and a couple of plays in the Giant-Patriot game. That defense for New England stepped up. The Giants defense didn't look that bad for what I saw last night either, but there are a few games on tap tonight. And Scott, when you look at just line movement, you brought it up in the break in terms of the game in Detroit between the Lions and Falcons. This line was instilled last night. I believe Atlanta was a 1-point road favorite. I could be wrong in that. It flipped. But now they have the Lions set at -2.5 on FanDuel at -110. Now, we read that Jared Goff will start at least play a quarter in tonight's action. But how much money? And I talked about this last night in terms of the other game that will break down, Cleveland and Jacksonville. The overreaction, right? The overreaction potentially with Deshaun Watson starting in Jacksonville tonight. And more importantly now, the overreaction to watching the Hard Knocks episode with Dan Campbell and Aiden Hutchinson with Billy Jean. How much is Joe Public, you think, maybe backing into Detroit in this matchup as a home favorite, -110? I might just take the points here in terms of Atlanta, +2.5. They have Mariota. They also have Dez Ritter that led Cincinnati to a college football playoff appearance last year against Alabama. I'm going to take Atlanta as a road dog here, +120. I think they could be live.
Yeah, I thought that the Falcons laying one was kind of strange. It was pick 'em, then it went to Falcons laying one, and I'm like, that's kind of weird. And then, I saw this morning Detroit is now laying 2.5. 3.5, I'd like to know how much money, you know, was needed to make that swing, or they just made the swing based on the fact that, Detroit is going to play their starters for a quarter. Dan Campbell, head coach of the Lions, said he's going to play his guys for a quarter. He also said, though, that he talked with Smith, head coach of the Falcons, and that Arthur Smith and Smith indicated to him that Atlanta would also have some of their starters play. So I don't know, maybe they balance each other out. I don't know how much each is going to play, but you figure Goff's going to play about a quarter or so. He said it's similar last year. Last year he played about a quarter. So the line now makes sense with Detroit being favored by 2.5. Let's put it that way.
Now, the total is set at 35.5. We saw that last night. They bet from 34.5 over in the Giant-Patriot game. Closing line was about 35.5, and they scored a touchdown with about 3-4 minutes left. New England to put that game over. Final was 44 points at 23-21. The game last night as well with Baltimore and Tennessee closed at 32.5. They just got over that number with a field goal at the end. They won 23-10. Now you look at this game between Atlanta and Detroit. I like the under here, 35.5. You have a rookie, obviously, that's going to get work in Dez Ritter. They have no running game, and that offensive line, even in the backups for Atlanta, sucks. I think Detroit can make some headway on the defensive side of the ball. Does Hutchinson get his feet wet tonight? Do they make a statement with or without Goff playing a full half? I like the under better than anything, but I do like the Falcons with the points and on the money line. So I'm going under and Atlanta in this ball game. You're going, are you taking Detroit laying the 2.5, or you're taking the points?
You know what? I'll probably take the points, but I do like the under as well. Last year, their first game for Atlanta, they lost 23-3. Game goes under. First game for the Detroit Lions, their game went under as well, 16-15 against Buffalo. So even if golf. You're dead on about how people react way too much to starters playing. First of all, they're only playing a quarter, and they're not doing anything crazy. You're not getting your A offense out there. They're just out there just to kind of utilize something, and it might even only be one series if it's a long drive. So that I don't see that hitting 36 points. With those guys, with the two rookie quarterbacks getting a bulk of the playing time for the Falcons, you know, and Phillips, he for Franks was awful with it. Florida.
And Arkansas. Felipe Franks was a turnover machine at Florida and then went to Arkansas with Pittman. He performed okay. He's 6'6", though. He's got a live arm, too, so we'll see. We will see how that game plays out.
Well, I'll say this now.
There is some movement, and then get out the CLV can, because I did get good value. I took and jumped on last night Jacksonville plus 100 when it was believed, I guess, that Deshaun Watson would start, right? We saw that line swing. It had Cleveland as a 1.5-point favorite late last night. Well, while I was on air, they had Jacksonville plus 1.5 at minus 110 and plus 100 on the money line. I said, I don't even want the points. I'm taking the money line with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, so far, good move, because now it's flipped. They have Jacksonville as a home favorite, slightly minus 1 at minus 110 either way, and a minus 115 money line favorite here. Total opened at 33.5. They bet it all the way up as far as last night, 37.5, and now it's settled in at 36 and a hook. So I'm still going Jacksonville. They, to me, are the more prep team because they played on the Hall of Fame game. I don't care if Deshaun Watson plays. I don't care if he plays four quarters. He hasn't played football in 1.5 years. They're not going to allow him to throw every play to risk injury. I'm taking Jacksonville. And you know what? I might take this under as well.
All right, couple things. One, Doug Peterson said that Etienne and Lawrence will play tonight. Some. Again, what is some? But they didn't play in a Hall of Fame game. So you're going to get the A unit there for Jacksonville, whether you think that's good or bad or not. At least you know they're going to play. Two, there was a good little conspiracy theory on Pro Football Talk Show. I don't know if you saw it about Deshaun Watson and that, you know, the NFL is appealing it. And the suggestion was that the judge will make his decision on Watson later today. It'll be a full year. And they'll make the announcement late enough where the NFL Players Association won't have time to appeal, which means Watson won't be able to play tonight. And if that's the case, I don't know how much that line would flip even more, because I don't know if they would play Jacoby Brissett or say, listen, you know what? If we're not going to have Watson, then we can't take any chances with Brissett getting injured. You might be looking at a third and fourth string quarterback situation for the Cleveland Browns tonight. So,
well, yeah, Josh Rosen might get reps. Might get reps. But here's the other thing. If that were the case, do they make a late decision to try and trade for Jimmy Garoppolo? Because you can't go into the season with Jacoby Brissett as your starter. I'm sorry. I Jacoby Brissett is an average quarterback. We had him in Miami, 1,500 yards, 5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He did not perform well during his tenure there. This team is like a 6 or 7 win team at the most, and that might be from a defensive perspective. I can't see Jacoby Brissett leading this team to 10 plus wins this year. I just can't.
No.
So you would have to make a move, and maybe the only quarterback that could take you over to the promised land would be Jimmy Garoppolo. I am curious to see if this decision does come down and how they maneuver it, and if the NFLPA, they're going to be pissed if that happens, right? Not to be able to appeal. But I will say this on the flip side of Jacksonville. You want to talk about a kid that doesn't get any criticism or any heat? Trevor Lawrence. I'll tell you what, he better step up this year. Number one pick in the draft. He looked like a deer in the headlights. This is a make it or break it year for him. Just the way we were critical about Danny Dimes in New York, right, coming out of Duke. This kid won a national championship, played on the best team in college football during his tenure there, and only completed 57% of his passes. He only threw for over 300 once. I mean, come on now. 8 of 10 games, he was under 200. 8 of 17. Excuse me. I mean, come on. He really needs to take his game to the next level. I didn't see from Trevor Lawrence last year he had command of the offense. Now, I know part of that was the Urban Meyer situation, but at the end of the day, it wasn't like Trevor Lawrence said, okay, I want to compete. I want to win at all costs. Forget Urban. I'm the best player in the draft last year. I want to showcase my talent. He was just going through the motions. He looked like a deer in the headlights for a majority of the season last year.
Yeah. He threw for, again, under 200 yards more times than he threw for over 300. And that's never a good sign. Little side note, Joe. Let me throw this at you real quickly here. I don't think Roger Goodell would ever get fired. But I got to tell you something. It is evident, right, that the owners are pissed off at the Browns and they want to punish the Browns as much as possible. If this arbitrator comes back for a second time and only gives a 6-game suspension, don't forget, Goodell had the power to be the arbitrator in this situation. He had the ability to say, okay, I'm going to make a decision. The owners want a 1-year suspension. You get a 1-year suspension. But he wanted no part of that. He no doubt convinced the owners, let's bring a third party in, take me out of the equation, and let the third party be the bad guy. Third party says a 6-game suspension. If they appeal that and that guy comes back with a 6-game suspension again, those owners are going to be pissed at Roger Goodell because they clearly want this guy to be out for the full year. Again, I don't know if he would be fired or anything like that, but your bosses tell you you want something done and you don't get it done, that generally means trouble.
It does mean trouble, but I think that's the only thing they could do. They have to drop the hammer and suspend Deshaun Watson for a year. Whether the NFLPA likes it or not, that's the only decision the NFL has right here, right now. When we come back, we'll talk about the other games a little bit later tonight and over the weekend. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, that's a tale of two teams. You heard the soundbite Von Miller talking about Bills Mafia, baby. Nothing better. Von Miller comes over, wins a championship with Matt Stafford and Aaron Donald in L.A., and now he's hoping to do the same with the Buffalo Bills. On the other side, you heard head coach Eberflus talk about Roquan Smith and the potential holdout, doesn't want to play, ask for a trade from the Chicago Bears. We talked about Justin Fields and what could be expected out of that offense this year. No playmakers around Justin Fields. Absolutely none. Darnell Mooney is good. He's not elite. David Montgomery is good. He's not elite. Cole Kmet is good. He's not Travis Kelce or Darren Waller out there, right? So what can we expect out of the Chicago Bears this year, Scott? I mean, I was talking to Carver the other night, and he's willing to put and take a shot 7-1. On the Chicago Bears to potentially be the worst team in the NFL this year. I said, you know, at 35-1, I would potentially bank on Washington with Ron Rivera and that loser Carson Wentz. But would you take a shot with Eberflus and Justin Fields in Chicago?
Hey, what was the number? 7-1?
7-1.
Are they going to be worse than the Houston? See, I think Houston's going to be the worst. Are they going to be worse than the Houston Texans? I think the Bears, just the mystique playing in Chicago, I think they're going to will their way to 5 or 6 wins. I don't think they're going to be as bad as people think. I have them penciled out. I did all my numbers. I finished it up yesterday. And I have the Chicago Bears, let me scroll down here real quickly, winning 7 games. I got them 7-10. I think they're going to be a little bit better. Their number is 6.5, so it's going to be a no play for me. But I don't think they're going to be that bad. They can't be that bad. It's the Bears. Although I will tell you this, I'm surprised at this. You know the Bears have made the postseason only one time, Joe, their last 9 seasons?
Well, one time?
That's amazing to me.
And that was with Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky. Think about that for a second.
I mean, I didn't think they were that bad, but, well, that's a long time. You know, 1-9. Yikes.
Well, think about this. And on FanDuel, I know that at one particular time earlier in the offseason, they were 7. It's if you think you don't want to bank on 6.5 and you think they could get to 7, FanDuel's offering a 5.5 at -145 to the over. So if you think they could get to 6 and more, you know, that's worth the bet for you. Now, minus 145, you're laying out a lot. But at the end of the day, I don't know if I have that much confidence. I love Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields, again, to me, if we're looking down the road at all the quarterbacks last year, you know, there were two, well, 2 years ago, but the one last year that I thought got a raw deal was Justin Fields. You know, in terms of where he was put, Matt Nagy, and how conservative he was running on every play. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to do better. We're talking about one of the most prolific college quarterbacks during his time in terms of Columbus and Ohio State. I mean, give him the opportunity to showcase what he can do. Put him in the shotgun. Why do you have to run every down? I don't understand these coaches that they continue to draft quarterbacks that fit their scheme as opposed to developing a scheme that fits the quarterback's strengths. I don't understand why they do this all the time. If you watch Justin Fields in college, he was in the shotgun 95% almost on every play. So why not just put him in the shotgun every time and develop an offense around that and see what he could do in that type of system, as opposed to forcing him to do something that maybe, just maybe, he's not used to when there's going to be growing pains?
Yeah. No, I don't know. It's putting the square peg in the round hole, right? That's, you know, it's the NFL way. It's the college football way. We've seen guys not get drafted because, he didn't play under center. Well, you know, then... You know, don't put him under center. You're going to waste a good arm and a good player just because he never, you know, was under center. Yeah, it's very, NFL's weird. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Now, let's talk about these two teams big picture. The game tonight in Philly, Lincoln Financial, the Eagles and Jets. Jets are a 1-point dog. The total is 35.5. It's juiced to the over at minus 115. Typically, I feel like Jet and Eagle preseason games trend to the over at times. But, you know, big picture, are we looking for the Jets to get over their preseason win total of 5.5? Now Becton's out. Nobody's talking about that, you know, the offensive line. Nobody's talking about Zach Wilson stepping up from last year. You know, can he lead this team? Has he shown that he could be a leader in New York? I mean, if you're going to bash Daniel Jones, and rightfully so, you got to start to bash Zach Wilson if he doesn't perform early on. I mean, again, it's the window. The window is closing. You know, you have a 2 or 3 year window. You need to make an assessment and you move on. They can't get it done in there. We're not in college here with a 4 or 5 year recruiting class. We're at the NFL. They're getting paid guaranteed signing bonus money. They're getting paid top dollar for rookies. You need to step up. And I have to be honest, I buy in to Jalen Hurts. As much as I didn't think he was a pure pocket passer, Scott, in his days at Alabama, and obviously at Oklahoma, he strives to get better. You could see that he is developing. He does have now weapons around him. And if we're talking intensity and we're talking the ability to just pull games out and find a way to win, I have more confidence in Jalen Hurts than I do Zach Wilson at this point in their careers.
Yeah, because, you know, Jalen Hurts is the NFL quarterback, Joe. I mean, it's kind of like, Willis. You know, if you could scramble around a little bit, you're going to create some plays. You just will, because defensive backs can't stay with wide receivers for 5-6 seconds. So if you have the ability to scramble a little bit, you're going to cross some plays, and you're going to cause some havoc. You're going to look successful at times. But in the end, you're not going to really win football games. So I would take Zach Wilson's future over Jalen Hurts, even though I don't think Zach Wilson was as bad can be. As bad as Trevor Lawrence was last year, Zach Wilson was even worse. I mean, he was atrocious. And then you had Mike White come in a couple of games and throw for like 300 yards, and that made you really realize how bad Wilson
400.
Was.
He threw for 400.
400, yeah. Right.
And beat Joe Burrow.
I don't think Zach Wilson's going to be the answer to it all. But all right, you got to give his full second year, though. Like Danny Nichols is getting 5 years for the Giants, so you got to give him.
Which is unheard of now. which is unheard of because really of the coaching turnover.
Well, it's got to three coaches. Yeah,
exactly.
Three coaches.
All right, but this is the end of the road. You don't get it done in the first eight games. I think he's out. But let me ask you this about Philly. We talked about Dallas potentially having value in terms of a Super Bowl contender at 20-1 just by default. If you believe the top three teams in the NFC, Tampa Bay, L.A., and Green Bay all have issues, whether it be offensively or defensively, do you buy into potentially Philly as being live in the NFC East at plus 170, or would you look to a team like the Giants at 7-1?
I do like the Giants. I think maybe, just maybe, as a pseudo-Giant fan, they can put it all together. But I'll tell you this about this Eagles team. I have them as one of the best overplays on the season. I think they're primed for a big, big year because their schedule is just an absolute joke. Again, just going down, playing the win-loss, win-loss, win-loss one. I have them going 11-5. They went 9-8 last year. Their number is 9.5, minus 130, but I have them at a solid 11-5 year. They're, you know, if they could take that next step and or at least be just as good as last year, Joe, their schedule is just one of the easiest in the NFL. It sets up perfectly. They're going to get at least 10 wins. I would be shocked if they didn't get at least 10, really. You got Jacksonville on there. You got Detroit on there. You got Houston on there. You got the Giants on there. You got the Bears on there. Obviously, the Giants are twice. You got the Bears on there. I mean, you got Pittsburgh, I think, is going to be good, but, you know, you just never know. You know, then you got Washington twice on top of that. You got Minnesota, winnable game at home. Boy, that's an easy schedule for them. If the Saints are on there, who I think are going to be horrible. There's not too many tough teams on that schedule.
Yeah, but they crushed the Saints last year. Hurts ran for two touchdowns and threw one. He had a big day against the Saints defense last year in Lincoln Financial. So, you know, we'll see. Here's the thing. I think if we're looking prop bets, and I just figured it out, I agree with you that, I think Hurts, I don't love him, but he's a lot better than a lot of quarterbacks out there, in my opinion. And the fact that he can scramble, the fact that he finds ways to win, did it at Oklahoma, did it at Alabama, might not be pretty. But at the end of the day, I buy into Jalen Hurts finding a way to get it done. I believe in the kid just from a heart perspective. The intangibles, the physical attributes in terms of arm strength, not so much, but that's okay. I'd rather have the heart of a winner, and he can find a way to get it done. But his number is 34-50 and a half. If you break it down over a 17-game season, comes down to 203 per game. I mean, with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and now I know Sirianni took to the running game at the second half of the year. They had one of the most prolific rushing offenses in the NFL. But you're telling me Jalen Hurts, if healthy, can't throw for 34-51 this year? I love that bet. Now, it's juiced to the over slightly, but at the end of the day, I think he sails through that number.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so. Because, you know, you're going up against Redskins defense, not great. Giants defense, not great a couple times. The easy schedule that I just outlaid. You know, their toughest games on paper is Green Bay and Dallas twice. That's it. So if he doesn't get it done with the Brown being acquired, then, you know, you talk about a quarterback not getting any more chances. I think that would be it. I mean, everything is set up for Philadelphia to have a monster year for all their overs on some of these guys. And Hurts should play later on tonight.
All right, now the number on Smith is a lot lower compared to A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is a 1,500. He's got to get to 1,001. I don't know if he gets there, believe it or not. I would buy into Devontae Smith more because they played with each other, obviously, during their days in Alabama. He seemed to build that relationship last year. 825.5 is only 48.5 receiving yards per game for Devontae Smith over A.J. Brown. That needs a little bit more. 1,001 equates out to roughly, let me see, equates to like 60.
17 games.
Yeah, 17 games. So I would take Smith. I think Smith has more upside in terms of that. 58.9. Yeah. So 59 for A.J. Brown, which is not saying that much. If you get $1.50 in one game, there's three games right there. But can they do it consistently? I have more confidence in Smith and Hurts than I do Hurts and Brown, believe it or not.
Yeah, I agree. I think both should get their numbers realistically. If you want to be honest about it.
We shall see. When we come back, we'll throw out some plays for tonight. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the grid. Coming right back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, wrapping up today's show. An hour flies by when Scott and I are talking NFL or college. Some games tonight, we talked about it. I mean, my best bet, I took it last night, is Jacksonville. If you're jumping in now with Jacksonville as a -1 point favorite on FanDuel, -110, I still think the Jags step up. Trevor Lawrence needs work. Obviously, Travis Etienne needs some work as well, not playing last year with the ACL. And Doug Peterson really needs to see what he has with this team. The fact that they played against Las Vegas, I think, will benefit the second and third teamers. And I don't care, again, if Deshaun Watson plays or doesn't play, I'm banking on Jacksonville to step up and win this ball game. One of my best bets tonight, and I'm going to take the under in Detroit as well, Scotty.
All right, let me give you a quick little rundown on who's playing, who's not playing tonight. Lions say that they will play their starters. They also say that Atlanta told them that they're going to play their starters as well. Jacksonville will play Lawrence and ATN. Not sure about the Browns. Who knows what ultimately happens there. Jimmy G, I didn't realize this, he's not even practicing. They didn't even give him a playbook. He's doing absolutely nothing, so he's not playing for San Fran tonight. I was wrong about that. But expect a lot of Trey Lance, they said. So he is in. Aaron Rodgers, not in for Green Bay. It'll be Jordan Love. Zach Wilson will play about a quarter for the Jets, then followed by Flacco and Mike White. And then the Eagles say that they'll probably have their starters play a series or two. No Joe Burrow for the Bungles. No Kyler Murray, apparently, for Arizona. But I like their backups a little bit more, Trace McSorley and Colt McCoy. So I like Arizona tonight. And three football games preseason, Joe. So far, three overs. So I'm going to look for overs later on tonight.
Oh, so you're going with the trend now. Everybody used to bang on the unders. Now you're going to go with the overs. And I took my first under last night. I got burned with that, with the Giants and New England. So we'll see how it plays out. We'll be back on Monday. Ben will be back in the hot seat for Scott Wetzel, our great producer, Danny Ohlers. I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great weekend, everyone. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Rideside coming up next.
Could give you some beat.